Testing.
Testing, testing. Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
This is June. June 21st, 1992. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Hatton present in light. As usual, with my good news and bad news hat on. I've gotten some new literature that spells my name H-A-T-E, hate on. Some of you may begin to feel that way as we move into tighter quarters and get more into that funnel neck. The problem is, precious ones, we continue to live in a fantasy world, a dreamland. You cannot exist without dreams, because only through dreams can you vision goals. And I don't care whether you're asleep or awake. In fact, I prefer you make your dreams and your goals while you're wide awake. I appreciate the ones who did this platform. Probably good news and bad news about that, too. Now she has a comfortable chair. I'll probably lose her halfway through. I keep her up working, and so when she gets comfortable, I have a little trouble keeping her awake, which is fine until I want her off the stage. She doesn't interfere with me that way. I want to thank you, once have remembered me this day. It's Father's Day. My apologies would be to the rest of you fathers that maybe I have pulled you away from whatever it was you were going to have as a big celebration. I think perhaps you're getting nearer to the capability and ability to appreciate life. And as we make contact, that will become even more enjoyable. I'm especially pained for you ones whose own youngsters cannot seem to find their way and their direction into what you have come to understand is the truth of the journey. We don't twist arms in here. We don't have big seminars. And as a matter of fact, I'm overworking all of you to the point that I'm almost embarrassed to even ask for these sessions. And yet, you all need the kind of support that can be given to a group instead of focusing absolutely on the workload. And at this time, when transitions of persons are being made, we need both. But I'm writing three journals all at the same time. And the Liberator, you ones have got to move smartly along now. To clarify that for you, I'm going to ask to start this day with this morning's writing. And then we're going to back up into yesterday's, because most of you in this room will not have had the first portions of those. I'm going to get to be a harsh and firm father, because the load is getting too heavy. The focus is on projects and other things from this location. And you ones are going to, I'm sorry to put it this way, have to begin to really think on an inner level for self. I waited today to speak of June happenings because I witnessed that everybody forgot. June was to be the month you were going to be terrified, and all of you forgot to do it. So, Oberly, why don't you share with us terrify? You don't know. You just squeak by, Chilos. I mean, you just squeak by. And you forget to either be thankful or concerned when the next incident happens. And you're more concerned about some confounded photon belt that comes around periodically. And I didn't even say it was going to come. Just sometime it's going to come. Your scientists have told you when to get yourselves all unnerved about it. They're also the same scientists that know exactly how to stop it. Any inconvenience whatsoever from the null time. In 36,000 years, or 22,000, or 4.6 billion, there can be a few days off one way or another. And you ones are going to have to stop this picking and testing. I don't mind if you test me. But what I'm doing is getting testy. You've outgrown that sort of nonsense. We're either going to get on with our projects, or we're going to stop this kind of interplay. If I have to, I'll just take all of the mail away from Dorma. As a matter of fact, you would have thought I'd done it this week. When Jenny gets back, you know, there are 3 stacks of mail, 3.5 feet high. They won't stand up, so they just kind of lean over there together. There aren't any questions too mundane. Don't misunderstand me for 1 minute. There are no questions too mundane to ask. There are questions which you're just simply going to have to reason out in your own mind and in your own hearts, because what you want is Hatton to give you a list of what's okay and what's not. God's already given you that list. Why should I butt in? I don't have any right to make your decisions for you. This is what irritates a lot of ones who come here expecting great seances and things. I'm sorry, we don't have any mysticism to offer you. Just the hard facts. And we're here to share. And I think it'll be a little bit self-explanatory, and I want Dorma to hear it, so Oberly, please read today's. And then we'll get on with some questions.
Okay. Sunday, June 21st, 1992. Hard thoughts for today. Question for the day. How's the volume back there? Did that improve it? Thank you. As you barrage me with inquiries regarding the photon belt and the 4th of July, why have you overlooked what just happened? Are we getting too much ring? Don't any of you remember the predictions which poured forth from the channels and insiders that there would be massive happenings, probably war started, during Yeltsin's visit to the United States? I believe you made it through the 17th and the 19th, still alive, but Ochila is not well. While Yeltsin was in the U.S. and Canada getting what he wanted, Gorbachev was in Israel making sure things were under control. The bargaining was centered around a thrust to prevent a first strike against the Russians before the elite can have the control garnered in total. It is a war of nerves right now, and none of the subtle signs should be missed. Booms over the West Coast. These are speculated as coming from a regular flight test of your Aurora craft. No, the booms are regular reminders to the elite, especially the administration and Kissinger, that the Russians are still in control of space. Full control. The blasts come from stationed cosmospheres along your San Andreas fault system. The focus is offshore to remind your so-called leaders that the fault will go when Russia is ready to refocus the beam, which takes all of 0.3 seconds. The firing comes right on schedule and under full control. This very scenario has happened before on both the East and West Coasts. The sad part is that both you and the Russians have capability of triggering the faults and also of detonating volcanoes. Why the West Coast now? Because on the West Coast is the banking central computer system, which, if put down, would throw chaos into the entire American financial world. This is both an asset and a problem, as you might well guess. Most of the important data and ability to function from the standpoint of the elite has been moved offshore, completely offshore, and into space. But the enemy can easily take out those satellites involved in a network. Therefore, one by one, the major banks have merged, even if not openly, and the central system has been moved to Basel, Switzerland. This takes care of the elite, but the fact is the Bank of China is the major communist institution which threatens at this time the stability of the financial world. You are not allowed to know what goes on in the financial centers of the Chinese. You will, however, shudder as remembering that the elite have a lot of operations in China which have been in full function for decades. Kissinger and Associates is one, Chase, Rockefeller is another, and so on it goes. Now I'm going to remind you of old information and tell you, again, that only the numbers of available cosmospheres has changed into the thousands. What think you that the Russians have done with all the money you have garnered? They have garnered. They are the largest oil shippers and gold holders. They have massive military advantage, now inserted into every nation in your world, including the beautiful downtown USA.
Let me interrupt. The other day, a gentleman came from Wilmington Trust. Wilmington Trust is just about the largest holder of gold in their vaults. This is a place where the elite store gold. I won't go into it, but he made one extremely gross blunder that I would hope that all of you who were sitting there recognized. He said the Russians were depleted of gold. Do you remember that, Oberle?
Yes.
That is BS.
What of these cosmospheres? There are now other mountains added to the ones which were targeted a decade ago when they actually triggered Mount St. Helens in May of 1979. That had an intended impact affecting the hostage holding in Iran. Does anyone remember? Well, we have pulled out our final stationed Nephilim from Mount Shasta, so it too is now in the target focus. However, if they choose to blow Shasta, they are going to get a most rude awakening. Indeed, all shall be most sorry for such action. The same holds true for several such places in the Philippines. There are so many adversarial beings residing in Shasta that Pandora's box will look really good if opened. The same holds true for the areas around Sedona, Arizona. Oh, yes, indeed, we expect massive upheaval, and we will not allow our people to be the receivers of particle beam games. The so-called old Soviet bloc nations, which are in deadly conflict, are staged to deceive the free world and distract you while you finalize your alliance with the Red Bear of the North, which has set you up for the kill. Why, for goodness sakes, do you think your own elite have been dismantling your nation and moving their own businesses and industries out of the country? Chilas, it is wake-up time. You just, once again through capitulation, using your very existence for all future time in the hands of the elite, have been had. But I must agree, the alternatives in planning, if anything had happened to Yeltsin, would have been disastrous and catastrophic. What was planned as show and tell? Once again, the city of New York, the Bolshevik capital of the world, was staged for a massive earthquake. Actually, a small one would be more impressive in my own view, for the infrastructure of that old city is so wasted that the entire area would be rendered destroyed if only that portion of sewers, drainage, and water systems were hit. However, it would be planned to cause enough devastation to take no hostages and leave no enemies. If earthquake failed, as they often do in the triggering, Then cobalt bombs are planted, which could be detonated in numbers to bring the effect desired. This last choice for demonstration purposes, for it indicates act of man and not act of God. The plans are to take you out in massive numbers and allow all of you to blame God for the happenings. There are still well over 100 cosmospheres stationed along the New Madrid Fault from north to south. There are some 150 presently stationed over the San Andreas from offshore Alaska Aleutians to Central America. Squadrons of a minimum of 4, depending on strategic location of volcanoes. Cosmospheres are stationed above every major volcanic mountain of the Northwest. These are Mount St. Helens, Mount Adams, Glacier Peak, and Mount Rainier. Now added is Shasta. In the Southwest, every possibly active volcano is also targeted, but it is known that if you trigger all the major mountains, then the rest will simply go. There is a squadron above Lake Mead and the dam in Nevada, and several over Yucca Mountain, where you have a massive amount of toxic waste stored along with a major facility. Remember, they are not ready to actually kill everything, and certainly not the real property. The ones running the cosmospheres, in fact, have no wish to kill any of you. Their very enemy is your, we the people, enemy also. We hope, the hope would be to release no additional radiation. However, as a countermove, the adversary would strike first with nuclear devices, for they both want to depopulate and take the world. Their own ground crews have placed bombs which can also cause similar destruction, and the result will be equally devastating. Why do I feel a need to tell you these things? Because the Brotherhood of Space is going to be given the blame in order to make final unification of the fragments remaining and get rid of the rest of your population. When you really wake up to what has happened to you, you will do one of two things. Roll over and be dead without struggle, or rise up and kill a bunch of them. However, number two, this is why they are sending in desirably expendable ones to maintain peaceful incarceration of you, the masses. Those which will be lost will not be mourned, for they are useless mouths also in the perception of the elite. The point is to depopulate the planet by 2000. The warring faction of the Bolsheviks, big oil banks, and the communists, still a whole bunch Russian and a lot more Chinese, are bringing you closer and closer to open all-out war, of which the prophecies have projected since onset of your planet. What can you do? Nothing more than I have told you in the past 57 journals and multitudes of liberators. Other persons with perception and realization of the facts and actions in planned precision have tried to make you hear. You plugged your ears and covered your eyes. Why is Colonel Bogreitz not even mentioned in any presentations? Where are you, America? Yes, many are awake and working their very hearts out, putting their very lives on the line, even in the midst of the realization that the bushwhacker can pull a nation to a dead halt and bring into play all the executive orders of FEMA instantly, even within the next seconds of timing, without any permission, congressional attention, or moral or political interference. Oh, indeed, you have much more important things to attend than a photon belt entrance. You have to attend the things the adversary will do during that time of helplessness, for they are not helpless, for they have taken the technology given by ones out to save humanity through devices of free energy and health balancing so that you do not have it. Your very enemy is assisted by the ones who sue others for disallowing truth from any of their perceptions and or publications to be utilized to inform the rest of the public. Every threat against my own people is a massively destructive action against you. The most amazing thus far is the intent of ones who stash Walter Russell's material on the actual definition of God and how light is creation to effort to shut down all information flow to you, the people. Hard to comprehend, is it not? They call themselves some kind of university and deal only with New Age meditation. No, we shall not see such incredibly important work be hidden and buried in greedy attempts to hide the information from mankind. It is the time of truth, and we shall pour it on you in every way we can, regardless of consequences. We shall deal with those things if survival is attained. If we fail, it matters not at any rate. You ones have so little opportunity to understand your circumstance of manifestation that you cannot realize what has been actually kept from you. As we have touched on this subject, let us look a bit deeper into the meaning of importance regarding works such as Walter Russell, who recognized the totality of light and perception of dimension. Anyone care to look at dimensions? What exactly are the basic dimensions of your science? Well, perhaps that is where we need to start, since most of you only came up with two. They are length, mass, and time, but these are purely arbitrary postulates. You experience them only with your senses, for they exist not in your soul energy experience. You have no proof that any one of them is real or basic. There is every reason to believe they are not. Most interesting of all for interstellar travel is that distance does not exist at all. The hardest consideration for extraterrestrials traveling to your sphere of experience is dealing with your limitations and perspective called time and space. You will find contactees frequently reporting much inquiry about time, which should tell you that the concept of inter- or ultra-dimensional travel involved with so-called UFOs is warped, if nothing else.
Pay close attention to this, because we have a question that was sent today that's going to deal with time in your perception. So go back and, with all the distraction, go back and read just a few sentences.
All right. Most interesting of all for interstellar travel is that distance does not exist at all. The hardest consideration for extraterrestrials traveling to your sphere of experience is dealing with your limitations and perspective called time and space. You will find that contactees frequently reporting much inquiry about time, which should tell you that the concept of inter- or ultra-dimensional travel involved with so-called UFOs is warped, if nothing else. The major one thing projected as a problem-solving game for human on Earth, on planet Earth, as studied by extraterrestrials, is to have you ones learn to handle the truth of time and space correctly. By not understanding the correct assumption of timelessness, spacelessness, and projection of thought creation, it is recognized that your species cannot move further in your growth, but are destined to continue around and around, paren, the clock in your limited space, and paren, forever. Time simply does not exist. Your elder brothers have ability to distort time as you know it by speeding it up, slowing it down, or totally stopping it. To do this, you have to remove the brainwashed ideas that you have about time from your minds. A tiny baby or a young child does not have any concept of time. Ponder it. A minute will seem like an hour to them, or a day, or whatever. A day can seem as if it is forever, and it is. As you grow older in your perception, you become more and more conscious of your concept of time. You lose this innocence of the child, and your expectations of movement toward physical death become paramount in limitation of your experience. This is another reason you cannot visit in the realms of your consideration as outer space, because you can't release these total limitations of selves. This, further, is why you can't visit us, but we can visit you. Our ships go faster than light speed, even in the technologically backward peoples of space residents. We also recognize the transition process of simply sloughing off the old body when ready to do so, much as the locust sheds a too tight shell, or a lizard snake outgrows the binding of the outer covering as the entity grows. We cannot get the same concern over your physical perplexities and perceptions of suffering and death of physical that you ones experience, for it seems a totally binding imprisonment placed upon selves in your dimensional understanding. This is another reason that no one from the cosmic experience would interfere with your actions. unless the action will some way impact the outer energy fields of the universal flow patterns. Even in your atmosphere, we travel on energy waves. Illusions. The past, present, and future are all the same. This means, Sheila, that what you call space and time are nothing more than illusion. That, further, means that all actions are only thought projections made manifest. Proof? Oh dear, you have proof. It is simply another one of those things hidden from you. There is a team of about six top-ranked scientists from a top-secret think tank right in California's Silicon Valley, south of San Francisco, who just finished a 7-year study utilizing C-Ray computer technology to back up the findings of the group. The team members signed a secrecy pledge with the government and with the giant corporation that funded the massively expensive investigation, promising they would not publicly release all of their astonishing findings, quote, for fear of worldwide panic, under penalty of disappearance forever. Does anyone remember that even Einstein said time is the fourth dimension and that a straight line in the universe will ultimately return to its own starting point? Therefore, time travel presents the logical and realistic answer to ability to interface with any and all places in the universe. We are here now without any intent of altering anything we find in sequence of events. Let us look at AIDS, for instance. We would not reveal to today's world cures for which human experiences, for such human experiences, because to do so would alter a chain of events already in motion. We would not practice these pieces of knowledge, for we would actually prevent our own ancestors, if you will, from meeting and, by so doing, erase our own experience. Moreover, we, as time travelers, if you will, also appear different because we have evolved and therefore to fit in will assume various appearances, so your own illusion will allow acceptability. On the other hand, your adversaries can develop by cross DNA replication very substantial creatures of any presentation desirable for their purposes, usually reptilian forms, for spiritually you abhor the serpent more than any other creature. Do you not begin to see why it is important for your elite would-be rulers to present aliens who are different from you? Say, little grays, who differ greatly. It is because we of your elder race fit in, and fear control is not an issue. We are already within your society, and no one knows the difference. So, you are presented with strange aliens, and the ideas implanted and created stories of abductions and mistreatment flourish, and you are trapped with the lie. Now all that is remaining is to bring out the army of replicas, and you will be totally terrified. However, I remind you ones of something. This is also a no-no, and will no longer be tolerated. You can only humanly manufacture beings. We can give them energy life, and that means we can have our own army from theirs in a matter of split seconds. Already your underground facilities are overrun with helpful and harmless little replicas who can walk through walls, vanish and reappear, and nothing kills them except the wearing out of parts and cells for natural reproduction is stunted. Oh, indeed, God holds the trump card. This, furthermore, is why only one godly man with knowing can recreate the scenario in any way she chooses. It is also why God wins. Norma, let us close this portion, and if we have time, we shall write on other matters. We have a meeting this afternoon, so let us take it as it comes. Hat on to clear. Good morning.
I think we better visit a little bit about that. And I'm not sure where you want to start. But one of the questions that was neatly printed for my consideration for this afternoon, well, read it overly so that we get it straight on the tape.
Do you refer to the 13-month calendar?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, So the question is, would having a 13-month calendar instead of a 12-month one have any significant effect on our civilization?
Well, let's look at that. At first glance, that may seem... What difference does it make? You only have so much perceived time. There is no way to respond to the question because the speaker or the presenter of the question does not give any background, any fringe information. Why would you perceive that it may or may not? This is a place where questions and answers, basically, I could just say no. I would have answered the question, and nobody would have appreciated it. So we have to understand when we ask these questions, if they're not from out of town, then ones who bring the question must stand ready to enlighten us on why the question, what ramifications might it have. I'm not going to pin one down on that at this moment because of what I just wrote. Obviously, if time is an illusion, then having 13 months, 25 months, 2 months, 1 day has no impact on anything. So it would not improve anything. Simply couldn't. It would simply introduce massive, massive confusions. You can't even twice a year change your clocks properly. And for the life of us out in the outer realms, we can't figure out how you exist in your time limitations, period. So to present me with a question that says, would a 13-month calendar help? I cannot even relate to it. I cannot see under any circumstances how a 12-month calendar served you, except to limit your year, to limit your time. You're always battling against those deadlines, always, continually. And yet, as the sequence of events unfolds, there are deadlines that must be met. Or what happens? Life goes right on, doesn't it? It works out, doesn't it? It may not be the way you planned it to work out, but I hope that you are beginning to perceive that if you handled it differently, it would work out like you planned. And time doesn't have anything to do with it. Lawyers have an extremely bad habit of waiting until they can barely make it to court with the paper. And if they miss a day, a man's life can hang in the balance. Ask Mr. Coleman, who just got electrocuted or whatever they did to him. He didn't get his response in on time. These ones went to municipal court with the wrong front page on their form, and it was thrown out of court. This is what you're dealing with. So it behooves all of you not to wait till the last minute in your perceived estimation of time, because all others around you are working on their perceived time schedule, and they're not interested in yours either. But they will utilize that time schedule to destroy you if they can, or to gain the upper hand, or to part you from your money. That's the name of the game. That's the adversary's name of the game. Get all property, including your soul, if at all possible. And he's working on a time schedule. Where does that leave you? At a great, great disadvantage until you understand you have none. Well, I know, I hear. Well, why don't you just tell us about that one, hats on, and let's throw this other trash out. I've told you about it over and over and over. And that's why, if just one of you understood your God power and your creative power as a reflection of the higher resource, you'd be able to turn this planet around. One can do it. One has done it. And one can evaporate the illusion. We spoke of that a little bit at our last meeting. What happens when ones have intensive visions of light? The doctors will I'll probably put eye patches on your eyes and say you are becoming blind, or gosh only knows what they'll do, you know. What you're doing is seeing through the illusion and into that which is beyond. And that's going to happen a lot as you get into a photon situation, because the illusion becomes less dense and you can see through it. Makes it awfully hard to perpetrate the things upon you that they're doing to you. Now, you have to know that according to the Plan 2000, they have all of this calculated very, very carefully to their own benefit, with a dozen alternatives for each incident. You have one. You can get with God and stop it all. Will you do that? Not yet. There will come the day that you will. That should be both good news and bad news, because that means you're going to have to do something right. You just are. Things just are. What is simply is. And you will do exactly what you make up your mind to choose to do. But in doing so, the consciousness of the human species goes to work with excuses. For every good reason for making a move of any kind, any action, there will be a zillion excuses. And you think up all of these excuses to back the one possibly feasible reason for doing something. And yet you have to have reasons for action, don't you? So when ones come to me and say, well, what shall I do? I can't very well tell you, can I? Because you're the one thinking up all the reasons and all the excuses that support the reason that you chose to do something, no matter what it is. If it's just to brush your teeth. Things that become habitual, the mind just clicks them off for you. And the only time it will change is if there is some break in that routine or that habit. And then you'll stand there and stare at your toothbrush and wonder what in the world you're doing. So you have to wake up your mind. I'm not interested in your eyes. A blind man can see better than you. Almost invariably, if he hasn't made himself a cripple because of his lack of eyesight. And very often, a deaf person will get better vision perception, either for lip reading or for just being sure that you make up for that deficit in one of your senses. You are sensual people. I didn't say sexual. That's what you've turned out to be, and that's the term that you wish to apply to everything. Oh, that one is really sensual. Everybody has nothing but sensual. Everything you do in the physical plane, in the consciousness, is purely, purely sensual. You have to go beyond those sensual references to reach into the spiritual. The two are not the same. And they don't have anything to do with sex. Sex means a species or a gender, male or female. I'm sorry. There aren't any in between. There are sensual preferences. These become very important, but they are not very important until they become acted out as behavior, which is purely physical in all respects. And if one goes with what is called the animal instinct, which is not what happens under any circumstances either, the animals don't treat their instincts that way until they are altered by man. You should think about that very carefully. There's a very orderly, structured mating system. Every rancher knows that in a bad year, the cows will get poor and they will not bear offspring. This is true of the natural habitat. When there is food supply for offspring, then there are offspring. Man is the only, quote, animal that abuses everything, in spite of anything. Now, do I object to that? No, I really don't. You would have blown my mission out long ago. And I need to experience this, too. I'm having a good time. I don't particularly like seeing you blow each other away, but I want to tell you something. It hurts me a lot worse to see you cut each other. It's an experience. And it's an experience from which you must learn. And ones want me to counsel. And sometimes I can help by saying, I know what's in there because you've expressed it. And you don't quite remember, you don't see that you have done so. So then I can feed you back what you have given unto me. But mostly ones want to counsel with hats on to find out something that's unknown. Be careful. I may tell you why you want to find out. And that can very frequently be most embarrassing.
Excuse me, Commander. I need to turn the tape.